The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and independent motoring expert for CarZone. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hello.
Now, the big news, we're not going to be charged for congestion in Dublin City.
Yeah, that's a relief, isn't it? Congestion charges are thrown up as a suggestion every few years. As has been made abundantly clear over the years, you can't do it in Dublin or in Cork or in Galway for that matter. We don't have the public transport alternatives. It's not going to achieve your objective. It just becomes a punitive tax on movement. Even Dublin City Council, who are certainly not pro-motorist, have acknowledged that. And in fact, Brendan O'Brien, their head of traffic, said it the other day. So it's relief to knock it on the head again, but no doubt somebody will suggest it again in the reasonably near future.
I'm wondering about the way the city has evolved with its cycle lanes and with one-way streets and so on, whether or not Dublin City, with which I'm utterly familiar, needs a rethink entirely, you know, get AI working on traffic flows. Because, for example, if I'm coming across St. Stephen's Green by Foreign Affairs, I must turn left and then I must go up Hume Street and then I must go up Merrion Row and finally I exit the city centre. If I continued straight up Leeson Street, I'd be out in jig time.
Indeed.
And that congestion loop would be gone. But that's something they've kind of foisted upon us in recent times.
Well, you think it's, in theory, that's a side effect. In reality, you think it's their primary objective. Look, Dublin City Centre wants to be hostile to cars, okay? Now, I'm not saying that as a pejorative. That's the vision they have. They want a nice plaza on College Green. They do not want through traffic. And whether they say they welcome it or not, they're not very welcoming to traffic that just wants to get in there. Mm. Now, that's fine in a city with an underground. You know, they do it in central London.
Sure.
We don't have that. So you're pushing everybody onto public transport. That we just can't get that quart into the pint mug. So it inhibits businesses in Dublin City Centre. It pushes traffic onto the M50. So, you know, happy days for Dublin City Council in the middle of the city. Very unhappy days for the poor commuters who are now forced onto the M50.
Now, the M50, people are paying for congestion. I mean, parked on it for an hour and a half as you try to make your way from one side to the other and paying a toll along the way. It just seems so unfair.
Yeah.
It's not doing what it's supposed to do, which is to get you from A to B at a price. Quickly.
Well, the toll is a pain. It should never really have been there. When the bridge was originally built, to my mind, the toll was reasonably justifiable at that stage, but it's long since gone. And even when they switched it to barrier free, which is 20 years ago nearly now, and that was the time to just jettison the toll entirely. Every toll in the country added up, Pat, generates about €250 million per annum. Sounds like big money, but they get 12 times more than that from us in fuel taxes. So, you know, they're going to take tax off you. They'll find a way to do it.
But also,
but doing it through tolls,
as I'm driving, now, if I drive electric, I'm not too worried. But if I drive petrol or diesel and I'm crawling along the M50, I'm paying them through my fuel as well, am I not, for not moving at all?
Yeah, absolutely everything about it is wasteful. I mean, the fuel you're burning is wasteful in terms of the environment as well. The M50 is a victim of its own success. We would be screwed without it. It would be a better road if there was no toll on it, and that has indeed always been true. Mm.
I can drive from Rosslare to Liffey Valley and pay no tolls, Rosslare to Liffey Valley, but to go from Blanchardstown Shopping Centre to Liffey Valley Shopping Centre, I have to pay a toll. My alternative, therefore, is to go on the back road through Cluny and Lucan.
I know. Well, I'm in Knocklyon. I can go to Waterford toll-free, but if I want to get to Cavan, I'll have to pay three tolls en route.
Now,
so it's very arbitrary. Yeah.
Now, some of the side effects of Trump taking over Venezuela, in theory, to give him access to loads and loads of oil.
Yeah.
In theory, should bring the price of petrol down, should it not?
Yeah, it should. So, you know, every cloud. I was having a look at oil prices last year and going into this year. And even pre-Trump or, you know, factors unrelated to Trump, oil prices have been trending down. They dropped from a little over $80 per barrel 12 months ago down to about $60 per barrel now and projected to stay no higher than that through the year of 2026. Analysts are sometimes wrong, but we have apparently got a global oversupply of oil at the moment.
So why is it not cheaper at the pump?
Well, That the reason for that is Irish tax. We had a tax discount on fuel, if you wish, applied in 2022 when oil prices were really, really high coming out of the pandemic. Government knocked a few bob off the taxes on fuel, but they've been adding them back on steadily over the last 18 months. And in fact, the last reapplied tranche of tax went live 1st of January. So our taxes on fuel are now back up to around 60% of the retail price. So 172 for a litre of diesel, a euro of that is direct to government in tax. And that's why we don't really see the world oil prices. But the world does. And the world, as I say, has an oversupply of oil at the moment. Venezuela, in theory, has got the biggest proven reserves in the world, more than Saudi Arabia, 300 and something million barrels of oil in the ground. But they're only able to produce about 800,000 barrels per year with their destroyed infrastructure. And there's no prospect of that changing anytime soon. So they account for less than 1% of global oil production, and they've no capacity to increase that quickly. So no matter what Trump says, there'll be no short-term effect from Venezuela.
Anyway. No short-term effect. Finally, I should ask you about the driving testers and the prospect of a strike.
Slightly odd one, this, given what they're proposing to strike about. But yes, rumblings of industrial action amongst the cohort of driving testers. Hard-working guys, we need more of them. They've sometimes resisted...
They are concerned that when they sit into a car, they have no guarantee that they are insured against injury should something go wrong.
Well, this is an odd one, isn't it? And it's to do, apparently, with the third-party liability arising from uninsured drivers doing the test. A pretty rare usage case, but it does occur. They do check for insurance. You present insurance when you turn up for the test. But if that's fake or not valid, they've no way to check that. If an accident subsequently happens, there's a query as to who's responsible insurance-wise for the instructor.
Now, Pat, isn't this readily fixable?
I was just going to say, whatever else this is, it's not cause for industrial action. There's a fix here. There's an easy fix here that comes from talking to each other. The notion that that could get to industrial action is, to my mind, pretty unfair and pretty unacceptable. So I'm not sure what's caused this. You suspect that, you know, when you hear a married couple are having a big row, it's probably not because of the tea bags in the sink. It's probably something else. So I don't know, maybe they're in fighting mood. But on the face of it, that's a problem that can be readily fixed. It is not an excuse for industrial action.
Transport commentator, independent motoring expert for Car Zone, Conor Faulkner. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.